Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
We're starting our new series today called Truth Wars. And all the things, I was like torn over two different types of messages, but when I heard what Pastor Juergen was bringing, I'm like, yes, he's saying everything I want to be said. So I'm like, I'll let him do that because he'll probably do it way more awesome. But then God really spoke to me about a different type of message to bring around truth wars. So who has never heard me preach before? Let's just kind of, okay, yay, hi. Usually I'm really rah-rah and I'm really strong and I'm, you know, faith and evangelism, and I have all my points, right? If you know, those people who really like points, like I usually have three, sometimes four. Whoa, like that's a big day when I do four. So I'm usually very structured, but I'm not going to be today. It's a totally different kind of message. I know. Wow, I'm like stepping outside of my comfort zone. It's honestly more of a heartfelt message. As a pastor, as a mom, as a wife, I just want to share with you today, and I'm really praying for some amazing breakthrough. So if you're waiting for points, you could probably find one or two in there, but I truly believe this is a word that God wants me to share for today. So I won't take it offense if you're not rah-rahing back at me as much as you normally would. Because if you're rah-rahing back at me, that means you're agreeing and then you're like exposing yourself. So I get it. If you're a little bit quiet, it's totally fine. And if you do feel to encourage me, just be like, that was for my friend. That one my friend needs. You know, whatever's going to make you feel better, but it's going to be good. We good? John wants me to pose for that. He just said pose. Okay. All right. Good. All right. Truth wars. So the truth honestly has never been under attack like it is right now, like out in the world, if you would notice. Isaiah 58:14 says this: our courts oppose the righteous and justice is nowhere to be found. Truth stumbles in the streets and honesty has been outlawed. Oh my goodness. Honesty has been outlawed. It could not be more true. And honestly, the truth has become considered hate speech, small-mindedness, intolerance. Like, no one's allowed to speak the truth anymore. But what the world does not understand, it's the truth and nothing but the truth that's going to actually set people free. The truth is what set people free. And the world rages against the truth. And the world has replaced truth with be true to yourself. Just be true to yourself. Do whatever feels right. The world tells you, follow your feelings, not the word of God. That sex is a recreational sport, not a covenant between a man and a woman after marriage. That pornography will enhance your sex life, but then will leave you addicted and can destroy your marriage. That it's your body, your choice, not a baby, and then it leaves you ashamed and scarred. That if the grass is greener on the other side, just hop the fence. Do whatever it takes to get to the top, never mind all the people you step on and hurt along the way. If your needs aren't being met at home, then get them met somewhere else. We have websites dedicated to people who are married who want to have affairs. Just medicate your problems and make you feel better, even though you aren't better because you never actually dealt with the root. Or how about you can buy it before you can afford it because you deserve it. But then you end up in financial turmoil and stressed under the pressure to keep your head above water. How about we use some self-control and actually save up before we want to buy something that we want? And what about what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? Right? No? Okay. All right. So there's people that are outside the church and in the church that actually believe some of these lies, live them out, and then we wonder why we're such a hot mess. Oh my goodness. The world will try to tell you that you can live this way, and it's not going to catch up with you. Can I just share with you this morning that, you know, and here's the thing. No one has everything going, like, really awesome in their world, and they wake up and then just go one day, go, oh, I'm going to be an alcoholic today. Doesn't happen like that. Everything's going great in your marriage. All of a sudden you wake up, you're like, oh, I'm going to leave my spouse today. Wake up one day, totally fine, never use drugs. Oh, I think I'm going to try cocaine today. Like, it never goes down like that. It's never all of a sudden you just like, it's the one big thing you screw up your life. It's those little compromises along the way that lead you to the big compromise. And then you wake up one day and you're like, how did I get here? It's the little compromises that got you there. And I want to put it to you today that there's no such thing as a little compromise. One little bite of an apple sent sin entering into the world like a flood. And then God had to send his one and only son, Jesus, down to the earth to die on a cross to redeem mankind. There is no such thing as a little compromise. Don't let the enemy fool you. But we believe these things. We believe that we can just make little compromises along the way and that we're not going to end up in a hot mess. And then when we are a hot mess, no one wants to admit it. No one wants to admit they're a hot mess because we live in a world that's obsessed with projecting perfection, don't we? Social media has trained us up well. Oh my goodness. We forget that it's just people's highlight reels that they're posting. What we forget is that behind every highlight reel is a lot of really bad footage. And then we take 100 photos to get the perfect selfie. That's not really what you look like. I saw the funniest thing. On this, listen to this, ladies. This is for us. Ladies, stop editing your photos. If you go missing, no one will be able to find you. You don't look like that. Stop it. Oh my goodness. I'll drink to that. So, but we can be deceived by these upbeat, optimistic status posts, you know, and we take these perfectly formulated posts as an honest representation of people's lives. And then this highlight reel has become this false sense of reality and an unrealistic baseline that we compare ourselves to. But we never can actually measure up to airbrushed and edited, can we? But we try. So this false sense of reality, I think, can drive us to isolate because everyone seems to have it all together, so I don't want to share that I may not have it all together. So we don't want it to admit that we actually can't stand our spouse right now or we're struggling in our marriage because all we see is like hashtag date night, hashtag, you know, wedding date forever, hashtag blessed, hashtag love my life. And then, honestly, I stopped posting so much about my children. Don't get me wrong, I love my children, but I'm not gonna keep posting about how much fun we had at SeaWorld because you know what? They're driving me freaking crazy because you know what? All they're doing is asking for sugar and sweets and toys around every corner and then the constant verbal bashing of one another. I'm like, I actually didn't have fun, so I'm not gonna lie and post about it. It's a season, I know. It's a season we're going through. They've stopped physically assaulting each other so much. My boys are 12 months apart. But the verbal, just constant, oh my gosh, there's no peace in my home right now. And John, the other night, we have a family night every night. Dear God, help me, I need a date night. We have a family night once a week. And this last one, they were just like, everything about the movie, about where they were gonna sit, rah, rah, rah. And John just goes, babe, we are not having family night anymore. I'm like, wow, that's probably not the solution, but you know, yeah, so it's real people. So, but no one wants to admit we don't have it all together and everything's not perfect, so we become experts at pretending. And the internal war rages within. The war between the facade we want everyone to see and the truth about what's actually going on in our hearts, right? It becomes a truth war. And then people go, hey, how you doing? Awesome. How are the kids? Oh, great. They're so great. They're so cute. How's your marriage? Oh my gosh, epic. How's business? Crushing it. How's single life? Oh my gosh, so much fun. But in reality, you cry yourself to sleep every night. And then, oh, how's your walk with God? Oh, me and him. Oh, our time is so precious. So really? Really? Like everything's awesome? Like there's no ish whatsoever in your life. Really? Really? And come to find out, some of those very same people that told you everything was epic are actually contemplating divorce because they've gone from a married life to more like roommates. It's the same people who may are under so much financial pressure, they are having anxiety attacks, or they've had so much success, the pressure to keep the success drives them to drinking at night because they just need to escape the pressure. Or maybe it's the same people that are actually struggling with a secret sin or an addiction, or they are depressed and distant from God, or they're contemplating those little compromises. So this leads me to what I want to share with you this morning. The title of my message is The Great Masquerade. The Great Masquerade. And I'm not saying that if everything really is epic right now, I'm very happy for you. Because here's the thing. It's great, though, because everyone has ups and downs, right? There's mountaintops, there's valleys, we have victories, we have losses. So you may be on a mountaintop right now. So you may not think you need this message, but I'm telling you, you may not need it right now, but you're going to need it at some point because we don't always just live on the mountaintops. At some point, you will find yourself in a valley. And I pray to God it's not the great masquerade and we are really good at pretending, trying to tell everyone that everything is okay when it's not okay. The world and the church, no one wants to admit they're struggling, that they're facing some challenges, or maybe they've made some really bad choices and they've gotten themselves into a really bad mess. And so because people aren't willing to admit it, I think people needlessly suffer on their own. They isolate. So they suffer silently, which then leaves you vulnerable to attack. This is why when the Bible talks about we need to go after the one sheep, the one that's on its own, away from the flock, it's because the one that is isolated, the one that is separated from the body of Christ, will leave you vulnerable to attack from the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." I guarantee you he's not going to go after the one that's in the flock, surrounded by everyone that's supporting them, encouraging them. It's the one that's isolated. So if you are isolating and suffering silently, can I tell you that isolation equals prey? It equals prey. Yet the enemy can convince us that we can deal with it on our own, that it'd be better if no one knew what was actually going on, and that it'd be better if no one knew the sin you were actually struggling with. And it's a lie. It's a lie. We're called the body of Christ for a reason. We're supposed to do this life together. In 1 Corinthians 12:26, it says, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it." Romans 12:15, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." But we can only rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep if we actually know what's going on in your world. We cannot be afraid of sharing the truth about the state of our own lives. James 5:16, "Therefore, confess your sins," or in another version it says, "confess your faults to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." So the inference is this: if you don't confess, you can't experience true healing. And the opposite of confession is to conceal, deny, hide, or mask. So the enemy is so crafty because if he can get us to conceal, deny, hide, or mask our struggle, he can keep us from experiencing healing. It's the truth that's going to set us free. It's the truth that's going to set us free. Amen? So the great masquerade, the definition of masquerade is this: an action or appearance that is mere disguise or show. A disguise or false outward show. Behavior intended to prevent the truth about something unpleasant from being known. A social gathering of persons wearing masks. So God forbid, the church becomes a place, a social gathering of people wearing masks. So the one thing I really want to talk about today is it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not be okay. That statement has been literally just wrestling in my spirit for a few months now. It's okay to not be okay. So whether it's pride or shame that makes people unwilling to share that they're having struggles or having problems, pride and shame can keep you from reaching out for the support that you need and the encouragement that you need to get through what you're going through. And honestly, it breaks my heart so much when I hear the first time we hear about something is when someone's already filed for divorce or already separated or already involved in an affair or already have lost their business or lost their home or in so much depression and heartache that they've, you know, been driven to use substances. Like, it breaks my heart when it's the first time we're hearing about something is when it's really bad and it's really seems like it's really far gone. You know, it's really easy to put out a little fire when it starts. When it starts. It's a little fire. So right when that thing starts up, we can actually extinguish it if we deal with it. But what happens to a once small little fire if we just let it go? A little fire that started out small that could have been easily put out now has taken down an entire house. We've got to deal with the fires when they're small. The Song of Solomon says this in verse 2:15. Catch for us the foxes. The little foxes that ruin the vineyards are vineyards that are in bloom. And what this scripture is talking about, why they say it's because the little foxes, when they go to the vineyards, they don't just eat the grapes that are hanging from the vine. They actually start gnawing at the base of the vine. And then they dig up the dirt around the vine, exposing the roots, which leave it vulnerable, and it can destroy the entire vine. So how much damage can one little fox do if undealt with? This is telling us that it can literally ruin an entire vineyard. So we need to deal with the little foxes, the little issues, despite how small they may seem. So we need to deal with those little things, the little insecurities that keep you from flourishing in every area of your life. Maybe it's that anger that's really coming in between you and your loved ones. Maybe it's the offense that literally builds a fence between you and the ones you love, or that fear that now has manifested in you making sure you control everything to protect yourself, or the anxiety that robs you of that productivity or that sleep, the comparison that prevents you from having healthy relationships because everybody becomes competition to you, the jealousy that causes you to tear down others to make you feel better about yourself, the pride that keeps you from asking for help when you truly need it, the unforgiveness that robs you of peace and makes you bitter, the pain and disappointment that keeps you in this place where now you have the inability to trust anyone out of fear of being hurt again. It's those little foxes that can spoil the vine. We have to deal with the little things, the little issues, because the Bible tells us in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows out of your heart. So we're mistaken if we think we can harbor these things in our heart and have these things going on in our heart and not eventually spill out into our life and negatively affect our life. We need to deal with the little foxes, those little heart issues that can manifest negatively in our life. Amen? So we all have areas. We all have areas that aren't perfect. But then why do so many of us pretend? We all have stuff, so why are we pretending? I don't want us to be the kind of people that masquerade around. Remember what it says, to wear a disguise or put on a false outward show, to hide the truth no matter how ugly or unpleasant it is. God, the church, your brothers and sisters in Christ cannot help you get through those things to help you get breakthrough and freedom if you don't expose those things. We can only deal with what we're willing to expose. Your secrets will keep you stuck. Your secrets will keep you stuck. And I just want you to know today that Jesus is not afraid of your mess. Jesus is not afraid of your mess, and neither are we. And neither are we. I want to share just a little story about an experience I had where people were a little bit of afraid of my mess and how that really affects someone. So when I was 20 years old, I was in college here in California, and my family was back in Oregon. And so a phone call came in, and I was told that my sister, who was 1 year older than me, had committed suicide, and she had shot herself. And she was the oldest of five. I was the second. And so you know how the oldest child kind of by nature will usually be the more responsible one, the one that makes sure everyone's okay. So my sister was the one that always made sure everyone was buckled up in their seatbelt before we took off. She was always made sure that everyone finished their dinner and did everything right and did their homework. So the moment that I found out my sister died, it was like the transfer of responsibility. Like, I felt the pressure. like come upon me. And so I got on that plane and I was not going to shed a tear. I was going to be strong and make sure everything turned out okay. So I went to Oregon and I made sure I was comforting everyone that was crying. I didn't shed a tear. I helped organize the funeral. I picked the songs. I talked to the pastor about what to share, and I was walking around making sure everyone was okay at the funeral and then at the gravesite. And I was just doing my thing, and I just thought, you know what? I'm just going to get through this. And then when I get back to college, I'm going to fall apart. But what I didn't know was that while I was away, I went to a small Christian school, and while I was away, because of the horrificness of how everything happened, it was pretty intense, I think, for people to deal with and to talk about. So they had a chapel service, and they instructed the students to not talk about it. Just when she gets back, just pretend that everything's okay, and you're not to bring it up unless she feels comfortable bringing it up. And it was obviously good intention, you know. They wanted to just kind of leave the ball in my court. But I was really needing at that point for someone to just ask me how I was doing. So I get back, and everyone's like, oh, so glad to have you back. No one said a word. And then I'm like, oh, they're all acting normal. Okay, I'm going to act normal. And they obviously must be uncomfortable to talk about it, so I don't want to make anyone comfortable, so I'm not going to talk about it. And so for 3 months, I just tried to deal with it on my own, never talking about it, never saying a word. And can I tell you, oh my gosh, the emotions, the frustrations, the anger that was building up on the inside of me, that I had no one I felt that I could share it with. And I was literally becoming a hot mess. And at one point, finally, 3 months later, one of my sweet friends, she pulls me into her dorm and she says, oh, I know we're not really supposed to ask, but how are you doing? And I just fell apart. I fell apart. I mean, I could not stop the tears, and I just started venting and vomiting all the things that I was trying to process over the last 3 months. And I can't tell you, it was that moment that I actually began to heal. It was at that moment I could actually deal with what happened and start to move on with my life. Can I tell you, it was the worst feeling in the world to not be able to share with what was going on the inside of me. And I pray we are never a church where you feel like you have to put on a mask and act like everything's together when you walk through these doors. We are okay with your mess. We are okay with your mess. You know, and maybe you're here, and the reason why you don't want to share your mess is because maybe you've been burned before. Maybe you shared your mess once, and it was a little too much for the person you were sharing with. Maybe you shared your mess, and it turned into the latest gossip. Or maybe you shared your mess, and you were judged. If you don't share your mess, it only hurts you. There's a scripture that David talks about when he was he had committed some sins and he was really struggling and he felt like he was a mess inside, and for a while he concealed it. And this is what the Bible says he was going through. Psalm 32:3. When I kept silent about my mess, about my struggle, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. And the scripture goes on and it says, but once he confessed, he found freedom. Once he confessed, he found forgiveness. And once he confessed, he found himself once again under the blessing of heaven. Staying silent only hurts you. But I pray we learn to share our struggles with trusted people, right? There's the right people and the wrong people to share things with. The trusted people, the pastors, the leaders, the connect group leaders, the ministry team, those close brothers and sisters in Christ that have wisdom in their life. You may want to refrain sharing your guts with the person making your sandwich at Subway. Like, there are some people, you know, there's a right time, a right place, and a right and a wrong person, right? We have to share our struggles with trusted people. And I love this example that Jesus gives us of how to handle when someone has a moment of being exposed, when someone brings their vulnerable moment to you. And so let's read this story together in John 8:2-11. It says, now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commands that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Then he said, testing him,
that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his fingers, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Caught in the very act of adultery. Can you imagine? In the very act of adultery. And people drag you out of that bed and throw you into public, completely vulnerable, completely exposed, probably not dressed. And she was messy. She was messy. And she was guilty. And the law says she was deserving of judgment. But what I love about our God is that he didn't extend judgment. God extended grace, and he extended forgiveness. So I want to be the kind of church in people's most vulnerable moments. We don't use our arms to throw stones. We use our arms to extend grace and extend forgiveness and help them go and sin no more. Amen. Amen. What an amazing example God has given us. So while it's okay to not be okay, the second thing I would say is, but it's not okay to stay that way. It's totally okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. You see, yes, you're accepted, mess and all. We love you, but we love you too much to leave you that way. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. So we're to grow up and become more like Christ. And in James 1, it talks about allowing trials and tribulations to strengthen us, to develop us, so we're perfect and complete, not lack anything. God wants us to have life and life abundantly. God wants us to have immeasurably more than all we could ever hope for or imagine in our lives. God wants us to run the race in such a way that we'll win the prize. God wants us to have a future and a hope that tomorrow is going to be so much better than today. We're supposed to stay on the potter's wheel. The Bible says that he is the potter and we are the clay. We're just to stay on that potter's wheel, allowing him to mold us and shape us into the people that he wants us to be. What happens when you're trying, when a potter is trying to put together this pottery and we get off the wheel too soon? We're not ready and we just collapse and fold. We need to stay on the wheel, the potter's wheel, and allow God to mold us and to shape us. And then when pottery is finished, it has to be put into the fire, doesn't it? Sometimes we have to go through the fire and hear things we don't want to hear about ourselves, and to be challenged on things we don't want to be challenged on. But we have to be put through the fire, because it's in the fire that it says it removes the impurities and it strengthens us, it hardens us, so we can sustain things. We can actually be useful and hold things within us. We have to stay on the potter's wheel and allow his refining fire to strengthen us, so we can be all that he wants us to be. Philippians 1:6 says, "Be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." So what does that mean? That we are continually a work in progress. That means on this side of eternity, we will not see the finished product of ourselves. We never graduate from being refined. I have not graduated from being refined. I just turned 40 and I still get in trouble. There's still areas of my life that need to be spoken into, that I need to be challenged on. It was about a year ago, Pastor Leanne had to have another conversation with me. There was an area of immaturity in my life, and I just kind of allowed it to continue. And this area of immaturity would sometimes cause me to behave in staff meetings in a way that I probably shouldn't behave. And really, it was making people lose a little bit of respect for me because I didn't have a little bit of self-control.
And so I remember I did it again. And Pastor Leanne called me the next morning, and I knew the call was coming because I listened to the Holy Spirit. I knew I crossed the line. And she just chatted with me really lovingly, and she just said, "You know, Becky, I can't and I won't have this conversation with you again. I can't and I won't have this conversation with you again." Because this was about the third time she had to have it. So really, I knew it was an issue, but I had never wrestled it to the ground and fully had victory in this area. And it was one of those issues that would be a ceiling in my life if I allowed it to continue. So honestly, I am so thankful that she has the courage to say what she needs to say to me and doesn't just tell me what I want to hear, but what I need to hear, because it was a ceiling in my life. And God wasn't going to risk anything by allowing me to be elevated if I couldn't get control over this area of my life. It was a ceiling, and she was willing to call it out. And I thank God, because now I've had victory in that area. It was like the slap in the face that I needed. Sometimes some of us just need to be slapped around a little bit, because there are areas of our life that need to be confronted, right? There are areas that we need to deal with once and for all. There are areas that need to be challenged, because we don't want you to have a ceiling over your life. You may have a ceiling now, but I hope to God it's not a ceiling in a year from now. Like, we want you to break through every ceiling, every oppression the enemy has you under, so you can literally go to the great heights that God wants to take you. This is the house of God. We are children of God. This is the house of transformation. This is where people can come in broken and leave whole. This is where people who come in lonely but find friendship. This is where people who come in sick and get healed. This is where people come in oppressed and get freedom. This is a place where you can literally actually go strength to strength, even through a storm. This is the house of God. This is the house of transformation. So it's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. We all have junk. We all have stuff. We all get stuck in some area of our life at some point. And I pray that when we do, we'll be able to actually share the truth about what's actually going on in our life, so we can just get past this great masquerade. I'm really done with the masquerade. People's lives are at stake. People's families are at stake. People's businesses, everything is at stake. And we can't do anything about it when we pretend like we have it all together. I want that internal war that goes on the inside of us with, again, between the facade that we want everyone to see, but the true state of our soul. Let's not be at war. Truth wins. Truth wins every time. God can't fix things when we're pretending. So I want to do two things this morning. And if I can really encourage you, I really want to open up the altar call in a little bit, just for some ministry time, some people that really need to just share what's going on in their world and get some prayer and encouragement, and just to have that time together. But before I do that, I want to have given people an opportunity to respond to Jesus this morning. And so I would really love if no one would actually leave during those two moments, because what we don't want, if everyone starts exiting, the people that really need to make their way down have to actually get through everyone leaving. And I don't want to have any obstacles for people to get down to the front, to receive what they need to receive, and to release what they need to release, and to confess what they need to confess, so they can have true healing. Is that okay? That's okay? All right. Amen. All right. So if everyone could just bow their heads and close their eyes. So the first thing we need to do, the Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Freedom never comes through pretending. So I want to really have like an honest moment. Like, when we look at the state of our soul, like, how are we doing? What's the truth about where we're at in our relationship with Jesus? Maybe we've never actually responded to his call. We've never received the gift of salvation and forgiveness, where the Bible says when we receive his free gift of salvation and forgiveness, he makes all things new. We've actually had our sins forgiven. There are some of you in here that have never actually made that decision to make Jesus the Lord of their life. And then there's people in here that at one point they gave their life to Jesus, but there's been some struggle. There's been some things that have kind of pulled them away. And I believe right now there's people watching on live stream that are away from God right now too. And God can meet you right where you're at. He's just as real to you where you're at as he is in this place. So if you know you need to respond to Jesus, well, no one is looking around. I'd love if you just lift your hand. I want to include you in a prayer. If that's you and you know you need to get your life right with God, just lift your hand up nice and high so I can see it. And then once I see it, you can put it down. I see you right there. Sir and ma'am, right there and right on the aisle in the pink. I see you, beautiful. I see you, sir. Thank you. And in the maroon shirt, I see you over there. And on the side, two girls. Yes, three ladies. And the gray and the navy and the army green. And I see your hand over to the side. I see you. Come on. Let's not be good at pretending today. You know you need to get your life right with God. Today's your day. I see you up the back, yes. I see you, sir. I think there's at least four more people here that need to respond to Jesus. So if you've made this decision, just be praying for those that are still wrestling. There's at least four more people in here today that need to respond to Jesus. I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We're willing to wait for you. Your life's too important. Your future's too important. Your eternity is way too important. And literally, that's what's in the balance. I see you up the back. Eternities are in the balance right now. So we're going to wait for you. Way too important. God loves you so much. There's no condemnation here, only a fresh start. A couple more people. Anyone else? I see you, young man. I see you. Amen. Amen. God is so beautiful. There's such a beautiful presence in here. People are, they're making the biggest decision of their life, the most important decision of their life. And I know I said I wanted to have some ministry at the end, but we have plenty of time. So we're going to do this first. We need to do this first. So I would love to be able to pray with each and every one of you that lifted your hand. And there was quite a few of you. There was quite a good handful of you. So what I want to do is in a moment, we're going to have everyone stand to their feet and the band's going to play a song. And those who have already made this decision before are going to be cheering and excited. And those of you who raised your hand just now, I'd love for you to just come down the front. We want to pray with you. We want to give you a Bible. We want to give you a book. So let's show some courage today and let's everyone stand to their feet.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.